Hi, I am Krista Bender, and you are listening to Tech Chaos on Rave Publications, Rave Radio. Thank you for joining us. I am back in the United States after a nice trip to Amsterdam and at being at ISE. So I think I'm finally fully recovered, just like every other AV tweep out there. So for today's show, I have three amazing guests with me. One of them you know, somebody who I just could not let be away from me for too long. And then I have two other amazing guests as well. But before we get to them, I want to quickly thank our sponsor, because without them, this show would not be possible. Thank you to Ingram Micro for sponsoring Rave Radio. Take a moment to visit their website, which is ingrammicro.com, to find out how they can help you with your AV and IT needs. So our first guest that I wanted to introduce really doesn't need any introductions. You may remember his voice from the days when I hosted on AV Power Up, and that is Richard Pervetti. Hey, Rich.
Hello, Krista. It's awesome to be back. Thank you very much for the invite. Look forward to the show.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for joining me. And then I have two other guests. The first person that I want to introduce is Vanessa Folk. Hi, Vanessa.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
And the second guest is Tori Stenmark.
Hi, it's good to be here.
Yay. So we will get into a little bit more of who Vanessa and Tori are, as I'm very excited to have them here on the show. But first, I want to talk a little bit with Rich. Rich, remember back in November when we went to Infocom Connections up in New York?
I remember it like it was yesterday, Krista.
Well, do you remember while we were there, we geeked out on a certain little microphone?
Yes, I have a feeling it was. It wasn't the one that we used on the way up, but it was. I think it was made by Shure, and I don't have the exact model number, but it fit into your iPhone or iPad. It was really cool, very small.
Yes, that's the one. It was the Shure MV88. Mm-hmm. Well, I decided to splurge and buy myself some toys before I went to ISE, and that was one of the things I bought. And if you're a repeat listener and you happen to catch episode 3, which was when I talked with Eva Cannon from We Present, that recording was done with the Shure MV88 microphone. So like Rich said, it pops right into your lightning connector on your iPhone or iPad. And it's really super easy to use. I think the audio is pretty fantastic on it. It comes with a cool Motive app, which can help you adjust the mic gain. And it saves the files as WAV files and makes it super easy to share them. So, Rich, if you want to borrow that microphone, you're more than welcome to.
I'm getting jealous with each word that you speak. And I know where you live.
It actually came in super handy for the trade show because, you know, that ISE is huge. It's, in my mind, it's 3 times the size of Infocom when it's in Las Vegas. And there was at least 11 halls to run around through. And I was one of 65,000 attendees at the show, so there was a lot of moving around. So I needed something that was small and portable that I didn't have to worry about and that fit the function well.
Good, so. Because maybe we can use it together at Infocom 16 because I'm registered, but don't tell anybody.
Oh, snap. Yeah, that would be good, walking the floors of Las Vegas with a Shure microphone so you can catch what you're doing. So. Mm-hmm. So I want to shift over now to Vanessa, who is a PR manager for Geek Girl Con. Mm-hmm. And if you don't know what Geek Girl Con is, Vanessa can help educate you. So give me a little bit of background of what Geek Girl Con is, why it was created.
Geek Girl Con is a convention here in Seattle, Washington. That it really was created to promote women in any kind of nerddom, whether it's gaming or sciences and math or comics, just giving them a platform to come together and celebrate being a nerd.
Awesome. And you actually have a convention one time a year, correct?
Correct.
And that, when is it this year? It's coming up. It's either going to be September or October, I believe.
October 8th and 9th.
Thank you.
There you go.
I answered and then I went, oh no, that didn't go through. October 8th and 9th.
Okay, awesome. And if someone were to attend the show, since we're talking about it, what kind of atmosphere is it? What sort of events occur there that people can engage in or be a part of?
Well, what's great about Geek Girl Con is that it functions like most conventions, where you have panels, you have exhibitors, you have artists and vendors. But what's different is that you have this place where you can come together in a safe zone. And that's a really big highlight for us to really push forward and create that safe zone for everybody to come together.
So you had mentioned that you help with promoting girls and women, you know, get into technology and STEM-themed careers and activities. Can you explain a little bit more of how your organization accomplishes that?
Well, we work a lot with the community. For example, I know that we just, I believe it was last year, and Tori, you can jump in and correct me if I get any of this wrong, but we actually started working with the Girl Scouts of America and creating our own local badge for tabletop gaming and creativity, and I know that that's kind of taking off, and they're starting to expand a little bit with that. We also have, as part of our convention, we have a DIY science. And actually, that's what I think Tori should take over, because she's the expert here on that.
Yeah. So early on, I think we started the second, maybe third year of the convention. A lot of cons have gaming floors. Like you were saying, we work with the Girl Scouts. We do, I forget the details, but they do a really cool gaming program. But lots of cons have gaming floors, but not very many cons have any sort of science content. And so Dr. Rachel Burks, who was an attendee the first few years, went, why don't we have a science floor? Why don't we have a place where people can just come and do science because they think it's cool and can hang out all day or just come for a few minutes or whatever? And so she made that happen. It's called the Do-It-Yourself Science Zone, hashtag DIY Sci Zone. And we do all ages experiments. We're staffed by scientists. I'm one of the undereducated people there, and I have a master's degree. There's a lot of PhDs who work there. And we make sure it's really accessible to kids. Lots and lots of little girls, boys, you know, whatever kind of kids come through and have a ton of fun. So that's an area I'm really fond of, and we have a lot of fun with it.
So the Science Zone, is this something that like they would know about ahead of time, and would they do any kind of preparation to bring something to it, or is it pretty much they show up that day and it's set up in like different areas or zones, and you know, over here maybe you're going to, I don't know, build a volcano, over here you're going to put together the periodic table. Like, what kind of activities do they do?
We don't really, I mean, we publicize it. People know it's going to happen, but there's no homework in advance for it. So we'll have, we haven't done volcanoes yet. That's a good idea. We should. But we have extract DNA from strawberries, make your own slime. We've had learn about the New Horizons probe to the comet, learn about measuring the speed of light. I'm a chemist, so we have a couple different chemistry activities on using roses to learn about pH, doing secret writing. We get some physicists and astronomers in. We've had an anthropologist in to do build better dinosaurs, all kinds of stuff. And people can come in and sit down. We lay out a bunch of tables and they do hands-on, you know, do the activity. Some of them are 5 minutes long. Some of them are 15, 20 minutes. And so they can spend a couple hours going through all the different 12 or so activities that we have set up for them.
That sounds really amazing.
It's so much fun. The kids love it. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Rich, I think we need to take the little one out to this.
Yes, I will. just I'm reading the website. That's why I was kind of, my eyes were drifting off. But there's some of the things that I'm reading are just absolutely awesome. And I see a trip west in our future.
Well, wonderful. Just let me know when you're coming.
Mm-hmm. Will do.
So you have the show that occurs in Seattle, but of course it's not just about the show. You do stuff and promote events throughout the year. So how far is your outreach? I mean, do you have like different little pockets throughout the country of people that are, you know, doing girl geeky things for you on your behalf to help drum up interest?
Well, it's a good question. We have, our staff is all volunteer, 100% volunteer, and we are all over the country. And we, most of our meetings are done via Skype. I mean, it's hard to get us all in one room. So we do have our fingers in different pots all over the place. But because we are volunteer driven, there's not a huge fund to send me out to San Diego Comic-Con and promote, you know, there's not. So we do a lot of local promotion, but we're really lucky to be in Seattle because we have so many conventions that are geared towards our mission. So we have a large reach because of where we're based.
Awesome. Currently, does Geek Girl Con offer any kind of mentorship opportunities?
That is something that we're working on right now. Like I said, we are all volunteer, and so we're starting to reach out and bring on people that are involved, you know, that are college students or high school students that are looking to be more involved in the community. All they have to do is apply. There are links on our website about positions that are open, and that is actually a program that we have growing for younger people, men or women, that would be interested. So we have our roots there, but we're starting to branch out a little bit more.
Yeah, that tends to be something I think that is growing in many industries in general. I know that in our industry, the audiovisual industry, mentorship has really come to the front of things in the past few years. They offer, you know, we have one of our governing bodies, Infocom International. They now offer various programs for mentorship, and they have Young AV Professional Awards, and mentorship is big. I've been in the industry now for 13 years, and I was one of the few females in the beginning. I mean, there were females, but a lot of them tend to be in the admin position and sales position. And over the years, I'm slowly seeing more and more women stand forth in, you know, engineering and drafting and installation tech. And one of the things that I'm very proud of Rich for doing is he heads up. We have a certification program through this body called a CTS, which is a Certified Technical Specialist. And he has a group of people in his work that he's helped to study for this certification. How's that coming along, Rich? How many people do you have now in your CTS study group?
My 2016 class is up to 19 actual students. So it's as AV technicians, essentially the boots on the ground troops. We are, like Vanessa said earlier, it's hard to get us all together, but at various times we're 19 and then at other times it's 5, and it's going well. We're only about 6 weeks in, so it's no one's ready to take that test yet, but we got a great variety of students compared to the 2015 class.
So now this class, Rich, are they multiple campuses?
Yes, we have 7 different corporate accounts located East Coast and Midwest.
Nice. And I have to ask, of those people, any of them female?
Sadly, no techs, but they're some of the managers involved with the techs involved taking the class, involved with the class, are female.
Okay, all right, that's good. Because as some of the listeners may be aware as well, I am involved with International and trying to help with their Women in Infocom network with trying to get women and men, more people certified in our industry. So certification is a big push that I have in general. And I am still striving to study and take my next test, which would be the CTSD, which Vanessa and Tori, that is a next tier compared to the CTS. It basically would be like a design engineering type level of certification. And then our industry also has another one called the CTSI, which would be from the installer standpoint. So it's pretty interesting. I've had a couple people offer to help me study, which is fantastic, because I always think that I am lacking in my math skills, so that's why I always ask for help. When I was a younger person, I wish that there was more STEM push for girls to get involved with, because I do enjoy math, even though I say I hate it, and I do enjoy science. So I'm very excited to see like Geek Girl Con be out there and helping to promote girls and women to get involved and be a part of things. You know, I mean, most people, whether they do it now or not, have probably played a video game at some point in their life. And how cool would it be to be a part of that and, you know, have that be a part of your job or just be an active participant in that?
I'm so lucky. I love what I do. And that's really it, isn't it? I mean, we've functioned as a society under this assumption that in these traditionally male-dominated fields, women aren't interested, or they're, you know, they don't play video games, they don't read comics, and nobody likes math, right? But these aren't true. Everybody has their own thing, and I believe completely that everybody's a nerd inside. Everybody's a little bit of a geek deep down.
I'll second that. I consider myself a geek in training, and in the last, say, 6-8 months, I've gotten tremendous inspiration from my friend Krista, and from some of the other, I'll call them friends as well, Hope and Stacy and some of the other people on the call. Just their programmers or AV techs, AV nerds. And it's just so great to hear, specifically Hope, when she talks about her programming skills. It's just, I'm like, I have to learn how to do that someday. And
I was really hoping to get Hope on the show. That's a lot of hope in one sentence there, but it didn't work out. But Hope is a friend of Rich and I, that she's in the AV industry, and she's one of the few programmers in our industry, you know, that, and so she always has interesting stories of how she started and just day-to-day events that occur, and she has a daughter of her own, so I'm sure she would be very interested in learning about your organization. So this question is for either Tori or Vanessa. You could both answer it. What advice do you have for girls and women that maybe they're not super nerdy in a nerdy position, but they don't have any strong female mentors currently in their lives? You know, does a mentor have to be female for a female? I don't think so necessarily, but what suggestions do you think people should look for in a mentor?
Anything that inspires you. I think that the worst thing we can do really is overthink it. I think once you meet somebody that's worth putting your time into, you know, those strong people, they'll guide you whether you like it or not sometimes. So, don't overthink it, and don't try to look too hard, I think. But, I agree with you. I don't think they have to be female. In my case, I think most of them have been, but that's just mere coincidence. I'm going to be really, stereotypical here and say that my mom is the strongest person I've ever known in my life. She's constantly an inspiration to me, but most of my best friends are male, and they're great, wonderful people. So I don't think that you have to, you're not interviewing for your mentor. I think that when you find somebody inspiring, you find them.
Yeah. It can certainly be helpful to have a mentor, you know, particularly as a woman or as, you know, somebody who against another axis of discrimination, it can be helpful to have a mentor who's gone through that. I'm really lucky. I'm a college chemistry teacher, and most of the faculty in my department are women. And so the older women have been very helpful as mentors and guides to me. But you know, if you find a guy who's really, really helpful in a lot of ways, that's great. I think it's also important with a mentor to make sure not necessarily it's your best friends, but that their mentoring style goes along well with you. Whereas if you get somebody whose managing or mentoring style is just doesn't work for you, it's not going to be a good relationship. You're not going to get stuff out of it. So it's important to look for how you interact, as well as this person knows all the famous people in my area. It'd be really helpful. Well, yes, but if you hate talking to them, it's not actually helpful.
Good. So, Rich, you don't hate talking to me?
Never. Never.
Yeah. Those are all actually really good points, because I think there's been a few people that I would consider mentors in my life, and it wasn't like I was holding any kind of open auditions. It's usually something you realize after the fact, that you've really enjoyed working with someone and you realize you've learned a lot from them. And then it's like, oh, wow, well, they were a mentor and they probably weren't even meaning to be a mentor. And I think that's like the perfect fit when that happens. It's just people looking to help each other and share information. So I want to ask a little bit of some geeky questions now. So Tori, are you a gamer?
I do a little bit of console gaming, not a ton. I play what I like to call clicky games, which is sort of, you know, your iPad, iPhone, Facebook, somewhat more casual game, but that can be a lot of fun. And I do some tabletop gaming, yeah.
Okay. So of the clicky games, what has sucked the most life away from you?
So Marvel has a Facebook game called Marvel Avengers Alliance. And it's kind of like Vanessa knows what I'm talking about. It's kind of like it's got a little bit of a JRPG kind of feel to it, in that you put together a team and the team goes and hits some bad guys. It's set up, you can grind, you can play it like a much more serious sort of WoW flavored game, or you can go drop in once a day and go, you know, beat up on whatever villain of the week, you know, beat up on some Hydra bad guys and go away. And I like that it supports a variety of different play styles, so that when I'm busy, I can just be like, I'm going to click the button for 5 minutes. And when I'm not busy, I can be like, wait, what time is it? What happened?
So, awesome. Yeah. So then if we want to go analog, what kind of tabletop games do you like to play?
Currently I play with a system called Savage Worlds. Which has been really fun. It's a little more, it's an independent system. It's not, you know, D&D. And that's been fun. I get together with actually one of my former chemistry coworkers and his gaming group. And so we beat up on orcs or whatever bad guys at the moment. It's pretty fun.
Nice. Vanessa, gaming, your preferences, favorite games, or just ones that have sucked the life out of you?
I'm a big old gaming nerd. I'm starting up a stream of my own tonight after this.
You heard it here first.
I'm gonna play Undertale tonight. So horror games are kind of I've such a love and I shouldn't love relationship with the horror genre, just because I really, really do love it. But I am the biggest scaredy cat in the world. So I'm not sure how this is going to go. but we'll see. We'll see. I did a whole horror segment for a blog that I write for Halloween. And I played Until Dawn and one of the Slenderman games. And the video of me playing these games are just ridiculous. They're so silly. But when it comes to wasting my life, right now I am playing The Old Republic MMO, and that has been, actually my husband looked at me the other day and said, is it bad that I just constantly think about this game? And I said, no, actually, do you want to play it when we go home? So So that's currently been my my gaming, and my husband actually turned me on to PC gaming. I've always been a PlayStation girl, so so this is all new for me.
Yeah, I was a I was a Nintendo girl and then a PlayStation girl, and then I slowly shifted over to Xbox once that came around. And my husband is a gamer as well, and we probably don't game as much as you and your husband anymore, but you know, we have our systems up in the room that I'm in now, plus we have our systems downstairs. And at any given point, you'll see that we're both playing the same game. We'll both be playing Call of Duty or Halo or something. And Rich can attest to this because we have gone away for beer festivals. And how many PlayStations or Xboxes have we brought, Rich, so that we could all play games?
As many people as are invited. It's epic. It's just, it's old person epic. It's just ridiculous. Rearrange the house. It's really cool.
Yeah,
myself and a wannabe gamer, but there's just not a lot of time in my life anymore to really get in there and game.
It's so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard. I'm a binge gamer too, so my husband will lose me for about a week.
Yeah, that's what I tend to do too. I'm noticing as I get older, I'm just binging everything. Like, I binge TV, like, and now I've been hooked on Netflix, which is fantastic because it can just roll right into your next show. I'm like, oh, this is great, and look, it's on my tablet. Like, so yeah, and I'll do the same with video gaming. So I have to ask, because Vanessa, I like horror games as well. I like a lot of variety of games. I mean, I don't know which has sucked the life out of me more. I mean, it could be Super Mario Brothers if you take, you know, all of the games. But I remember spending a lot of time on Resident Evil 2. I loved that game. The sound of the dog's nails on the concrete and you knew something was around the corner. What is your favorite horror game that you've played?
God, that's hard. I have to say, I know it was recently, and I already mentioned it, but I really did enjoy playing Until Dawn because it was such a different kind of gameplay, this kind of, like, choose-your-own-adventure horror movie. That was a lot of fun, and I played it a couple different times. And so the first time I played through, I thought that it was... the intention of the game was to see in what order you would kill everyone. That's not necessarily the intention of the game. Then my friend told me none of them have to die, and that was weird. So I went back to see if I could save anybody, and I still didn't. I lost one at the end, I think. But a game that has that much replay value is pretty impressive to me, especially for a horror game.
Yes, I would agree.
A horror game, actually. So I spend a lot of time watching my roommate play video games. He'll play them on the big TV in the living room and we'll all sit around and watch, which is Alien Isolation, where you play as Ellen Ripley's daughter, Amanda, and you're on the Sevastopol space station and, you know, something's loose and it turns out, of course, to be an alien. But for the first, like, two-thirds of the game, you can't kill it. You can't. If it sees you, you're dead. So you spend the game, like, there's literally a command, which is hide in the locker and put your hand over your mouth so it can't hear you breathing. And the best part about it is that there's a feature, which he turned off because we're not quite this obsessed, or not we're not quite this immersive of gamers. There's a feature where it will listen to the mic on your controller. And if you, in the real world, make noise, the alien will hear you and come kill you. So you have to
sit that's fantastic.
Be quiet. And you're just terrified, and because you hear it ka-thunk and you can see the drool dripping, and it's just beautiful gameplay. And of course, it's a video game, so it kills you, and then you watch the death scene, and then you get back up and keep going. So there's no real-world stakes, but it was so immersive and just, like, you know, and then something would come around the corner, and we all scream and jump because, you know, what if it was the alien? Like, that's the most impressive horror game I've ever seen. It was really cool.
Did you ever play the PT trailer, or anyone in your house play it?
The PT trailer? No, it doesn't sound
Yes,
familiar.
It was a game that was canceled that was going to be a Silent Hill game.
Okay.
And they'd released a playable trailer for it, and then they canceled the game and they removed it. You couldn't get it. But, my friend had a copy of it, and so over this Halloween period when I was doing all of these games, we played it, and there was a part in it, it was a puzzle-solving horror game, and it was really intense. It was really good. But at the very end, you had to talk to this thing that had been harassing you. And for me, that was like, oh, this is too much responsibility. I don't want to be involved in this anymore.
Do you remember the game Eternal Darkness that was on the GameCube, where you were playing it and initially you thought that the game like crapped out and shut down on you and you didn't save your progress?
Sorry, my mute button. Actually, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I never played that, but I was talking to a friend of mine, and he brought that up, I think, last weekend. So now I'm just curious.
I don't know if I ever actually finished that game, because I think I did get to a point where I was, like, really, really stuck. But it was sort of like the game you had mentioned before, where it's a little bit like puzzle you have to go through and, you know, get this to make this happen, and sort of RPG-ish, I suppose, but it was really awesome and scary that first time, because you think you just lost like half an hour of progress and you're like, oh no, and then you realize you didn't. So Rich, besides any of the first person shooters, any other video games that you've played?
Sadly, no. I'm just a first-person shooter, you know. Well, you know, I have a passion for loud sports as well, so it's a perfect accessory to my other sport interests.
Yeah. I try to do the first-person shooters, and there's ones that I like better than others, but I'm really bad at them. So I'll be the person that finds the hidey hole, and I can't even snipe well. So I just kind of sit there waiting, and if somebody runs by, I shoot, hoping I catch them and tag them. Otherwise, they usually turn around and get me.
I am exactly the same. And my theory on this is that I grew up, my first console was a Super NES, and I didn't go the 64 or GameCube route, and then I got PlayStation. So my theory is, I just kind of missed out on all of the joystick training, and so I can't aim a gun. My husband tells me I need to do it on the PC, which I haven't tried a first person shooter on PC yet. But that's my theory. Sorry, Tori.
That's okay. So here's what you do: is you play GoldenEye for the N64, which is a fabulous game. And you, as the person who is not good with guns and games and things like that, is it has a handicap setting, and you turn it up so that you get like plus 10 health, and then you get the boys you're playing with who are good at games, this is obviously a personal story, to turn it, to handicap themselves the other direction. So they have like minus 10 health. And at that point, the skill levels had balanced out enough that I could play, and they would like unload a clip into me and I wouldn't die. And I would be like, occasionally I would hit them and maybe they would die. And it was balanced enough that we were all having fun, which is obviously the point of a game, is to have fun while you're doing it. So that was my college experience, was we just made it fun, and yeah.
That's awesome. It's been a while since I've adjusted the levels of any game. Usually I'll like pop it in and it'll be like, you know, mid-grade, like normal level play. But once in a while I would get a new game and I would put it in and I would just switch it to hard just to see. And then those first like 3 minutes of frustration like would be so unnerving, and then you balance it back and go to easy so that you could get through that. Yeah, I have not been gaming as much as I used to, but now after talking with you folks, I have the itch and need to go throw a game on.
I have a feeling it's going to be a Call of Duty night.
Yeah. So we're talking video games and whatnot. What about comics, Vanessa, Tori? How into comics are you? Do you have a favorite comic book character or series?
I am so into comics.
You first.
Okay. My favorite comic book character and comic book series is Captain Marvel, the Carol Danvers version of the character. And this actually ties back into Geek Girl Con for me, which is that I saw some panels from Captain Marvel online and went, okay, that looks cool. You know, she's a pilot, she flies as part of her superpowers, she's into space and space travel and stuff. And I started reading them, but Geek Girl Con 2013. Like, I picked him up in like spring of 2013. And so by fall of 2013, I'd gotten really into the character. And I'd made my first Captain Marvel costume and met up at Geek Girl Con with a bunch of other women who I did not know at all. We had sort of done a loose organization of Carol Corps assemble here. And I went, and some of those people are really good friends of mine now. And it was a really neat experience to get to meet other people that love the same things about the character that I loved, and to do it in that space of Geek Girl Con that's so safe and friendly and welcoming. And then we went and go talk to the creator of, or not the creator, but the current writer of the comic, of that character, and, you know, get to spend some time with her and tell her how awesome we thought that was and she was and stuff. So, yeah, a lot of other comics too, but Captain Marvel is special.
I have a similar answer. It's not Captain Marvel, it's Rogue. And X-Men Legacy probably would be in there. But I say I make that connection because if you know any much about Rogue's backstory, she gets most of her powers from Ms. Marvel when she absorbs, well, her essence essentially into her. And then slowly goes crazy. So it's she's really great. She's misrepresented in media, unfortunately, but I hold out hope. They've been making those movies a lot better, so there's always hope. But she, you know, she's just super kick-ass and a strong, independent woman, and watching these cartoons when I was a kid in the 90s, I had the X-Men animated series in Saturday morning cartoons, and she's been my favorite since I was in first grade. She's killer. I love her.
That's, you know, awesome.
We were talking a little bit about mentors and role models, and obviously it's important to find real person role models, but finding fictional characters that are role models for you can be really, really important. And also, Not as important, but important in a different way. To see, you know, people who can punch through walls or fly through things and fight dragons and stuff like that, and to be able to model yourself on this fictional character. I think that's really valuable. And so I think comics are a really good place to find that.
Yeah, I would agree to that. I mean, not everybody has to become a vigilante and become, you know, Batman or Batgirl or, you know, Spider-Man. But, you know, that is something. A lot of times in the comic book world, the hero person ends up having some sort of tragic accident and, you know, their loved ones are killed or something happens, and then they either, you know, obtain some sort of powers through this, or they just, you know, then decide to take on the bad guys. When I was younger, Wonder Woman was my favorite female character. And I'm actually quite excited because she's going to be introduced in the new Superman versus Batman movie, which I recently saw another trailer for that movie, and I'm more excited about it. I am excited for the movie. I'm holding back. I don't want to... We're going to see how it goes, but I'm looking forward to it. So I'm glad that they're going to be introducing her in the hopes eventually that, you know, they spin off and do some Justice League stuff with that, because I was a Justice League fan growing up. So, and I'm actually really excited because this weekend I've been holding off. I'm going to go finally see Deadpool. I don't know if either of you or anyone has seen that, and I'm really looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, my husband and I went on Valentine's Day.
Perfect movie.
it was exactly what you'd expect from a Deadpool movie if you know Deadpool, so I was not disappointed. Actually, it was a little more sincere than I had expected, if anything.
Tori, if we could back up a little bit, you mentioned fictional role models. So today, specifically for myself, and I'm sure there's a number of families out there with the whole blended family kind of thing going on. What do you think? And Vanessa, you can answer as well. What are your experiences with, say, Dora the Explorer for you know, 5-year-old, 6-year-old little girl? I should pose the question. Advice, you know, should I focus my little granddaughter on this direction or that direction rather, you know, from a fictional standpoint to help build that role model identification?
So I don't know if six is the right age for it. You might wait till she's a little bit older, but comics I would recommend would be The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. Squirrel Girl's is Doreen Green. She is a mutant who can talk to squirrels. She has a giant tail. She is basically undefeatable. That's her name, right? The Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. That's coming out right now. It's pretty much close to all ages. It's a great book. The current run of Ms. Marvel. So back in the day, Carol Danvers used the codename Ms. Marvel when she fought Rogue and Rogue stole her powers. Carol Danvers is now using the codename Captain Marvel, and the Ms. Marvel name got picked up by Kamala Khan, who is a 17-year-old Pakistani-American Muslim teenager in New Jersey who fights crime. She is amazing. She is an incredible role model. Her comic is absolutely, you know, teen, young teen, preteen friendly. Fantastic, incredible. It won a literary award this year, and I almost burst into tears in the audience. I was so proud and excited to see that. So, Ms. Marvel.
Ms. Marvel and Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. Okay, mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah. There are other good kid-friendly comics out there, but those are the two I would absolutely recommend straight off. Okay. Maybe not six-year-olds, you know, I don't know how well she reads, but you know, maybe a little older than that, but definitely while she's still definitely a kid.
As far as cartoons go, I know that DC recently has released, or is going to, so I'm not quite sure where it stands now, but a cartoon about their superhero girls.
It's a toy line, too. Animated cartoons.
And it's a little bit older, but it's in no way inappropriate. I mean, like I said, I was watching X-Men at first grade? Yeah, sure. So not too much older. But there's definitely more of an effort. I think there's, you know, there's Teen Titans, and I think there's Teen Titans Go? Go Teen Titans?
Teen Titans, okay.
Younger. So I think they're really taking these characters that we know, that we've grown up with, and kind of gearing them towards the younger audience. So they're starting it right now.
Okay. Great. Thanks. Appreciate it. I was taking notes. That's why I was looking away. I'm a note taker.
Rich is a very good note taker. Awesome. So is there anything else that you guys want to discuss? We could sit here and talk about video games and comics all night, but I don't want to hold Vanessa back because she's got some awesomeness to do later tonight.
I just want to reiterate that this is what we just sat down and did. We just talked about role models, and we talked about women in this industry. We talked about just being a nerd and just having conversations, sharing stories. This is what Geek Girl Con is. This is what we do. We have an entire weekend that we set aside so we can do this, and we can talk to professionals that do come from all over the country. We have artists that come in from New York and LA. We have speakers that have been all over TV. I mean, we have great resources that we bring together for this weekend. So if anybody can come out and make it this October, we would love to see you.
Awesome. So how can people find out more information? What's the website and Twitter handles? How can they find out more?
Sure. It's geekgirlcon.com. And we have our blog on there. You can get tickets there. You can even submit for panels. We're accepting applications for panels right now. You can talk to us at hashtag GeekGirlCon. We have a Tumblr page. Maybe it's pretty much all GeekGirlCon, and you'll find us. All of our links are there on our website. And our Twitter handle is also GeekGirlCon. So go ahead and follow us and find us. We're on the Facebooks and all of that fun stuff as well.
Hey, Rich, I don't think you have to put the www.
No. For those of you that may not, it was my long running joke on a previous show that I would always say www dot blah, blah, blah. So anyway. Although I am following geekgirl.com, at geekgirl on the Twitter. So it was pretty cool site. I was ferociously researching geekgirl.com earlier. So cool website. A lot of information.
Yeah, good. Yeah, we'll just keep it coming. So keep on it. As we get closer to the con, we get a ton of information that'll be on there.
The people behind our Twitter account are super helpful and responsive. And so if you have questions, you can always hit them up and they'll usually get back to you or say, you should email us at whatever appropriate email address it is. So they're really helpful.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Tori Stenmark. And thank you so much, Vanessa Folk, for joining us. This has been fantastic. I hope you have enjoyed yourself as well. And I would love to have you come back on, be repeat, so we can talk some more nerdy stuff.
I'd love it. Yep, you got it.
Yeah, anytime. And you should come out to the convention.
You know, I really am thinking about it. So I'm going to have to take a look at some travel time. And I haven't been to Seattle ever, so why not come out now, right?
Oh, I've been out there.
Perfect.
I've been out there. It's really cool. I climbed that mountain. I climbed Mount Rainier a couple of years ago.
That's really? More than I've done, and I've lived here for 8 or 9 years now.
Yeah. Okay.
I drink the coffee. I do that. I don't even like seafood, though. I'm a bad Seattleite.
do they still make Rainier beer? Rainier beer?
Oh, okay. Yes. Rainier beer. That's their commercials. If you didn't, anyway.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Rich, for joining me. It was great having you back with me doing a show. This was awesome. Keep up the CTS studying. And keep me updated with what's going on, whether it's you or other people in your group that take the test and pass. We'd love to share that information in the community.
Absolutely. Thank you. It was my pleasure to be back and to meet Vanessa and Tori. Thank you guys. It was really, really cool to check out the website and get a different perspective on how things are progressing.
Yeah, great. And if you have any questions, you can shoot us an email. I think it's info@geekgirlcon.com.
Mm-hmm.
We'll answer you real quick.
All right.
We'd love to have you and your granddaughter out here, so bring her over.
Soon, trust me. I'm going to fill her head with all kinds of cool, geeky travel stuff.
Awesome.
So thank you for tuning in and listening to another episode of Tech Chaos. Hope you enjoyed it. And stay tuned for the next episode. We'll